Hey everyone, welcome to Generation Slay, the podcast where we interview the creatives, entrepreneurs, and innovators who are absolutely killing it in their field. Now, as this is the first episode of season two, I figured I'd pop in, give you guys a little update. I am, of course, your host, Emma Havacorst. I am, you know, the omnipresent voice throughout all the interviews. I am the one babbling before and after, giving you way too much information about me. But, you know, for the meantime, on the off chance you don't know me IRL, I am a senior now at Fordham University. I'm a marketing major. I started out my life way back when I was, 12 or 13 as a fashion blogger. Did the whole New York Fashion Week circuit, yada, yada, yada. Since then, I've written for various publications. I don't feel like doing that list. I was an MTV campus ambassador for a hot minute. I founded a few platforms, different things, and landed here with my wonderful, wonderful Generation Z focused podcast, which is truly the love of my life. Now, if you listen to season one, I'm sure you know and remember my wonderful co-host, Gianluca Russo. Unfortunately, you know, you'll hear his voice in the first few episodes during the interviews, but you know, he just got too busy, too in demand with his wonderful career. And obviously, I wish him all the best, all the luck, all the followers, etc. So if you want your daily dose still of the wonderful Gianluca, you can go follow him on all the socials at G_Russo1, I believe. Fact check it in the show notes if you do please. But from now on, you'll just get intros and outros by me, and once we get a few episodes in, I'll be your one and only host. But I'm so excited for this season to start. I don't think people can comprehend how excited I am and how much the advice and the insights and the experiences that our interviewees share, how much they really affect me. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I created this podcast and I wanted to be able to amplify these amazing Gen Zers and what they're doing and what they can share with our peers, what they can share with adults, so the olds of the world can understand how incredible our generation is. But truly, like, every single interview that I do, I'm just more and more in awe of the amazingness of our generation. And amazingness is a ridiculous word, but it's true. Like, I'm truly in awe, and I'm sure you can tell in the interviews because I just stop and I'm like, do you realize how incredible you are? Can we just stop? Do you know that? Are you sure you know that? Because I need to validate you probably 7,000 times. It's so important that you know that. sorry, tangents. But truly, just so excited for this season to start. We have some really, really incredible people on deck that I'm so, so pumped for. But first and foremost, I get to introduce our incredible first interview. So in just a few seconds now, you will get to hear our interview with the lovely, the talented, the absolutely amazing Nadia Okamoto. She is 21 years old. She is a Harvard student who grew up in Portland, Oregon. She's the founder and executive director of Period, which is an organization she founded at the age of 16. It is the largest youth-run NGO in women's health. It's one of the fastest-growing NGOs in the United States overall. Just a few days ago now, they launched and ran rallies in all 50 states for the first National Period Day, and they had numerous presidential candidates confirm that if they were to win the presidency, they would want to get rid of the tampon tax, which is one of the main tenets of the period movement. So clearly, she's making major waves, major changes in literally the country as a whole. In 2017, she actually ran for office in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and while she didn't win, her campaign team made huge waves in mobilizing young people on the ground and at polls, which clearly reflects in her work in mobilizing youth with period. She just published her debut book called Period Power, A Manifesto for the Menstrual Movement, published by Simon & Schuster. It made a ton of best adult nonfiction amazing people lists. On top of all that, Nadia is the chief brand officer of Juve Consulting, which is a major Generation Z marketing agency based in New York City. If you listened to season one, you heard us interview the founder, Ziad Ahmed. If you didn't hear that after this interview, go back and listen to that one. That one's amazing. And of course, on top of all of this, most recently she was named to InStyle magazine's The Badass 50, along with, you know, Michelle Obama, Ariana Grande, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. So, you know, she's just among the little people, right? Them. So, I guess, without further ado, the interview!
To kick things off, one, how's everything going? Because you, according to your Insta stories at least, have been all over the place in like the last 48 hours.
Yeah, honestly, like the last this week is a little bit crazy. So definitely just trying to get through the fucking week. But yeah, I'm doing a lot of flying this week, like every day, mostly between Portland and Ohio, which is a little bit odd. So it's been a little bit crazy, but things will settle down next week.
Well, we obviously appreciate you fitting some time in for us. And, you know, just to start, like, can you give us a little bit of your background, especially your background in terms of why and how you decided to found Period?
Yeah, so I'm Nadia. I'm 21 years old, and I'm a rising junior at Harvard. And I'm the founder and executive director of a nonprofit called Period, the Menstrual Movement, which is a global youth-run NGO fighting to end period poverty and period stigma through service education and advocacy. So we, you know, we distribute period products to people in need. We're trying to change the way people think, talk, and learn about periods through education, and we're working in policy advocacy from the local to the national level, trying to get period products, access to period products to be more equitable. And to do all of this, we mobilize young people. So we have about 500 registered campus chapters, universities and high schools in all 50 states and about 30 countries. I started the organization when I was 16 years old, after, you know, hearing stories directly from homeless women of, you know, their stories of using toilet paper, socks, brown paper, grocery bags, and cardboard to take care of their periods. And, you know, after learning about the tampon tax, which existed in 40 states in the U.S. at the time. So definitely have been kind of just on a roll ever since, really fighting for against period poverty. And I'm taking a year off from Harvard right now, kind of on to grow the organization and also on speaking and book tour. So I just published my first book called Period Power, A Manifesto for the Menstrual Movement. So I've been working on my book and period, and I'm chief brand officer at Juve Consulting as well, which is a Generation Z marketing agency.
That's awesome. We obviously want to get into like the backstory of how this all kind of came about. So it started when you were 16 years old. But at that time, you know, through the years, we've seen, tracing it through the media and television and film and all these different areas, we've seen a lot of stigmas around, you know, the topic of periods and of women's health. And in recent years, with efforts through, you know, you, your organization, and many other organizations, that stigma has started to break. So how have you seen period kind of have a part in changing that stigma? How have you seen people's views change? And what has the impact been on young women because of the work that you've been doing?
I mean, we can only hope that we've contributed in some way to, you know, getting, you know, breaking the stigma around periods. But I think it's just been really cool to even see how our platform has grown, and to be able to see how we've been able to recruit, you know, people who've never really thought about period poverty before, to be active advocates within our network.
Yeah, and kind of to follow up on that, because, you know, obviously periods are a women's health issue. And so a lot of people put that in a box of, you know, women are the people who deal with that. And women are the people who should fight and advocate for that. So do you see any issues, or do you face any problems in getting men to care about these issues and to engage? Because I think that is kind of a very interesting approach, and especially with young people being so very interested in advocacy and their lives and the lives of the people they're connected to, I can see maybe where young men would start to become interested in advocating for the people around them as well. But I mean, what have you seen in there? Yeah.
Our strongest advocates, actually, some of them are men. Like my co-founder, it was a guy, cisgender male, who didn't get their periods when we were 16. You know, one of our national campaign directors is also, you know, a male. And I think that it's been really amazing to see, like, we really advocate that this isn't just a women's issue, but this is a matter of gender equality, and we're all in this together. So we do have an incredible number of, you know, cisgender men who are involved, it's been really amazing to see them take leadership in the movement, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So kind of take us through then some of the different ways that you have, through period, been able to cause change and have an impact. What are some of the specific things that you've been able to accomplish?
Yeah, so kind of going through our three pillars that I mentioned before, which are service, education, and advocacy. The service component is really just getting period products to people who need them. So to date, we've addressed over 750,000 periods through product distribution. So that's probably a little over like 10 million products. On the education side, actively doing workshops called Period Talk, which is all about like kind of the 101 behind menstrual health and related conditions. Doing a lot of digital content around that as well. With advocacy, we've passed a number of pieces of legislation and policy at the school level, at the district level, and now we're working at the state level. So trying to get period products into school restrooms, trying to take down the tampon tax and things like that.
And so especially at like the state level, and from what I can tell, I can see you guys working for policy issues on a national level. How does that work? Who do you reach out to? You? How do you affect that policy change? Because obviously that expands beyond the issue of the menstrual movement. Like a lot of young people right now are looking to make change and figuring out how they can do that. So what has that been like for you and for the movement?
I mean, we really built these toolkits for campus policy and everything like that, that kind of walk people through the exact steps of, you know, how do you get in touch with your legislators? How do you, mobilize with them? How do you draft legislation? So you know, it's pretty straightforward, actually, I think more than people realize. And so much of our work is just simply saying, like, just start talking about it and raise awareness in your community and be fearless about asking those questions. And a lot of the passion that I have for policy really does come from watching how much young people can make a difference in the menstrual movement. But I also ran for office when I was 19 at the local level for city council. And so it's kind of been a journey ever since then as well.
Yeah, totally. And so now it's been 5 years since the start of period. You're now 21 at Harvard on a leave of absence, obviously, as you brought up. And recently you published your debut book. So tell us a little more about what your book is about, what the process was like of writing it, and why you're excited to finally have that out for people to read.
Yeah. So, I wrote the book last year, Period Power, and it was kind of a scary experience because I don't actually even still identify as a writer. Like, I think I identify as an activist first, and I sort of saw a book as a way to advance the menstrual movement by creating more unity around, you know, this shared mission to end period poverty. So it's been kind of a journey ever since then, but I think I'm really excited for the book to be out because it's legitimized myself and period as sort of thought leaders in the movement to help kind of guide the importance of young people in this movement.
Definitely. And you brought up a point saying that you consider yourself to be an activist first. And a lot of young people today, we know that Generation Z is full of activists in many different areas, tackling many different issues today. What do you consider an activist to be? How do you really define what it means to be an activist?
I think an activist is simply someone who's fighting the status quo actively.
Totally. And that's such a great like way to kind of define it, because I think that there's a lot of like room there for interpretation depending on what
you're
in and everything. So I think that's a great way to kind of an umbrella term to really highlight all the different ways people are fighting for their causes. And so looking forward, obviously you have so much going on right now, as we know, but how do you see yourself kind of expanding in the future now? You're only 21, so you have many years to really grow, period, and everything else you're going to do. How do you see yourself expanding in the future and bringing that impact to an even larger audience?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I would say that I'm really looking forward to doing more policy. You know, we just launched our national campaign, National Period Day. So we're working to mobilize rallies in hopefully all 50 states on October 19th, really around the tampon tax.
I mean, that's amazing. And really what I'm getting from you and everything that you've been saying, above all else, like as a current college student, I'm going into my senior year right now. Even just managing my schoolwork and a little part-time consulting job and this podcast is busy for me. And wrapping my mind around being the founder and executive director of a national youth-run NGO and creating this National Period Day and publishing a book and being the chief brand officer of Juve, which we haven't really even touched on, but is a huge role to take on. How? I just need to know how.
Honestly, I don't know. I really don't know. I think for me, I'm always just, I'm actively just trying to get enough sleep. But I have been getting a lot more sleep, but I think, this is what I love to do. I try to make it so that everything I'm doing, I'm genuinely passionate about. So even if I was making no money for it, gaining no clout, I think I would still be doing what I'm doing today. And I think that simple fact is what really keeps me going.
Yeah, I mean, that's truly so important, because if you weren't making money and you didn't care about this, all these things would have been dropped so long ago. And I think that's a super important point to make
Not necessarily. Yeah. I actually think that even if I wasn't making money, I would still be doing the same thing.
Oh, I'm saying, but if you weren't making money and you didn't care about what you were doing, you would have dropped it so long ago. But kind of building on that, I guess, since you are doing so many things, and I feel like this is such an important issue for Gen Z, is, you know, doing so many things, but also making sure to get enough sleep and take care of yourself. How do you make time to take care of yourself and make sure you have time for you?
Well, so for me, I always make sure that I work out at least 30 minutes every day. And for me, that's a big thing of just like maintaining physical health, but also time when I can just focus on myself.
Oh, yeah. That's so important, even like mentally. It's a game changer with all the endorphins and the dopamine and all the other wonderful things that happen when you get to move around. Can we talk a little bit about your role at Juve too? Because I mean, we've interviewed Ziad, who is obviously one of the founders of Juve, but I'd love to talk to you more about your role as a chief brand officer, because that's such an interesting role to hold of a Gen Z marketing agency, and kind of how you fell into or came upon that role, what that requires of you, what you do in day to day for that.
Yeah, so I'm Chief Brand Officer at Juve, so I kind of really oversee a lot of the, you know, brand identity of Juve as a company, but also, you know, figuring out how our brand exists in the real world in terms of being a thought leader in this Generation Z marketing space, showing up at conferences, you know, winning these awards, you know, working with earned media, also overseeing influencer marketing and social media.
Definitely. And so what are some of the lessons that you've learned from your time at Juve? Because obviously social media plays a really influential part in Gen Z culture. Because we're really the first generation that was raised having social media at our fingertips. So what are some of the things that you've learned from interacting with a lot of different Gen Zers in that space?
Yeah. You know, I think that one of the things that I've really been learning is simply, just being able to see how much of an appetite there is from young people who want to get involved with brand marketing, right? I think that like oftentimes we complain about, you know, how brands are understanding Gen Z. And I think what's interesting is how much young people want to play a part in it. So when we created this company, it was really cool just to see like how interested people were in taking action.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And then to kind of connect Juve with Period, how have you used social media to kind of elevate Period and that message to a wider audience? How have you used social media to help it grow and to really expand in today's age?
Yeah. I mean, social media is literally like what we help companies with, but also how we like build our network, right? So I think it's kind of the bread and butter of like how we do all of our work.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I feel like it's so necessary, but also I feel like for you at this point, especially since you're doing a lot of speaking work right now, you're recognized as the chief brand officer of Juve, as well as obviously the founder and executive director of Period. You're becoming your own brand and you do need to use social media to harness that power and that network. And I kind of want to hear from you how you think social media has impacted your personal life and your ability to grow all of your work.
Yeah. I mean, as a founder, I think that I very much recognize that like my platform and my own brand identity, you know, is really interchangeable with you know, the success of the companies I'm leading. And I think that that's something that I very much realize and something that I'm constantly thinking about in my own work as well.
Mm-hmm. And obviously the whole message behind Period to really aid in women's health, which is a conversation that nationally we're having very often nowadays. What advice would you give to other young activists who want to affect change in women's health, but also in other areas? How would you tell them to go about it to kind of get their feet off the ground and to start in this activist space?
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, first and foremost, I would just say use the tools right in front of you. I think people, I always meet these young people around the country when I'm speaking who have a really big idea, want to take action, but, you know, are struggling with what is the first step, right? And I think something I always try to push forward is like, there is no right first step. You just have to act, right? And I think that that mindset of worrying about taking the right step is always the biggest thing that stands in the way of young people truly starting something.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And then talking about Gen Z, obviously bringing it back to that, how do you see Gen Z kind of really using their voice now to uplift other voices to really make a change? And what are some of your favorite things about just being part of this generation of activists and game changers and trailblazers?
I mean, I think what I love about being part of the generation, this generation, is just seeing like how connected we can all be, right? I think the power of social media, we've never had to reconnect with anyone, right? Because we're constantly connected and expanding our networks. And the fact that we're able to like, you know, have conversations with people who come from different places and identify differently from us is just so important and can be very productive. And I think that one of my, you know, kind of favorite insights about Gen Z is that heightened level of individual responsibility that we all feel to try to contribute to solving the issues that we see around us.
Oh yeah, and I mean that is obviously so important. And do you think that insight, I mean, I feel like it inevitably does, but I'd love to hear your input on how that kind of has impacted how you've been able to mobilize young people for voting and for obviously the Period movement in general. Like, how does that need to help and the desire to help, how is that crossover?
Of course, I think that, you know, you see everyone in the network of Juve or Period are young people who, you know, found a passion in what we were doing and were hungry for a platform and the resources to take action, and they just needed a little bit of a nudge along the way. And so I think you simply see that with the network that we've built.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. So we're actually almost out of time, unfortunately, because we like to keep these interviews nice, short, and sweet.
No, but I love that.
I mean, that's all anyone really has time for. These crazy 1.5 hour podcasts are truly wild. No shame.
Totally.
Who has an hour and a half podcast?
Okay, well, amazing. Well, thank you so much. And
Just quick before we let you go, let everyone know where they can find you online so that they can reach out, follow you, whatever.
You can just find out more about what I'm doing at period.org or at Period Movement on social media, and you can find me at Nadia Okamoto.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being on. We really, really appreciate you taking the time.
Of course. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye. So everyone, if you obviously like this episode, which if you didn't, why? Nadia is amazing. Please subscribe for the rest of the episodes of this season. You can even listen to the first season if you missed out on that, and leave us preferably a 5-star because I am sensitive review in the section of whatever podcast platform you choose to listen to podcasts on, because we were on literally all of them. And we will see you next week with a new wonderful Gen Zer interview.
Thank you so much again for listening to this episode of Generation Slay. We will see you again next week with a wonderful interview with one of my literal favorite people in life and truly one of the most inspiring people I know. So I'm so excited for you guys to hear that interview. But in the meantime, I just wanted to drop in to tell you that we are running a little giveaway on our Instagram at Generation Slay. So pop on over there, give us a follow, tag a few friends, easy peasy. You may get some merch, you may get some energy drinks. It's amazing, it's organic, it's fun, merch is adorable, etc., etc. There's no losing in this situation. And in the meantime, since we all know you're already on a podcast platform, might as well just pop down to those reviews, give us a good one. Please and thank you. It helps other people find the podcast, and I would like more people to listen to the amazing Gen Zers we get to have on, because they deserve all of the attention and all of the praise in the world. So, on that note, please subscribe so that you get next week's notification, and I will see you then. Bye-bye!